Hey guys, welcome back to the show, and if it's your first time here with us, you're so welcome to be joining this digital campfire, this intimate conversation that a growing number of kings around the planet, most of you are husbands. I know, like, there's a portion of you sacred, amazing men listening in. You're the wise foxes of society, because, you know, you're not yet in the octagon of marriage, but you're tapping into that, the wisdom that's coming through here in the podcast. I mean, if it works within the octagon of marriage, it sure as hell works and is incredibly effective. As a man in life, in your deep intimate relationships outside of marriage, or, you know, if you're just general life information, it's really potent. All are welcome. One thing I want to underline, and it was coming through me powerfully coming on to record this morning, is this essence of slowing down to speed up. Wherever you are on your hero's journey at the moment, in your marriage, in your path of mastery, in your mission in the world, I want to slow down to speed up. And by that I mean, I want to slow down and just honor you. And by invitation, and maybe underlying, like, it's that direct challenge. Invitation is a nicer word for this, I feel. Invite you to love and accept yourself as fully as is available in this moment. To love and accept yourself as fully as you can in this moment. And as fully as I can, as you can in this moment, I mean, hey, my hand is up. It's like, there's this, there's a culture of positive feeling, and you choose your attitude and appreciate everything. You know, it's like all of this happiness and positivity and joy, and I'm all in for all that. I really am. Yet, I know in my life there's been so many moments when I didn't feel I could access anything near what some teachers were, like, all enthusiasm and all positivity, and, like, it was irritating me, and I was putting myself down. It was like, wow, you know, am I broken? Is there something wrong with me? Yet it's important to just pepper this in cyclically. It's like, love and accept yourself as much as you can in this moment. Just at least, you know, just trigger some part of you that can go, man, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I am where I am. You know, you listen in probably to find next steps of progress. You guys that have been sending me messages and emails, and it's amazing stuff. You know, all of these mini steps that are creating significant progress in your marriage and in your inner world. It's amazing stuff. Yeah, wherever you are now, my invitation is just practice self-loving and accepting where you're at. And from one man to another, it's like, I know in my times, you know, I'm doing on a level much better now than I've ever been doing before. Still have my inner world challenges, external challenges, like, that's part of the joy of living, the challenge of it and embracing that. Yet I've had hundreds and thousands and so many days and moments when I didn't know how to make it through that day. I didn't know if it was possible to remain in marriage with my queen and keep my life with my girls. And I mean, they're intense moments, and I just really want to reach out to you in this moment in a very intimate way. Like, literally, I'm leaning in. I always say this, like, I lean into the microphone, but that's a leaning in. I recognize this part of me leaning in to speak closer to you. As always, you know, listen like I'm speaking just to you. Like, we're on a phone call and I'm just riffing, and you're like, maybe a bit of a weird phone call because it's a total monologue in a way, but work with me on this. Lean in like it's a conversation direct with you. So in this moment, you know, I'm speaking to you, because I know every man, you're not human if you don't have, you know, deep inner challenges and outer world challenges, and there are always going to be challenges. but I really want to speak to you and say, you're doing good, kid. You're doing good, brother. I mean, it's a victory to get from where you've come from to be here in this moment. And I encourage you, I want you to hear that and know that from me and from, by extension, every man in this movement listening in, you're loved and accepted. Because sometimes it's easier to love other guys than it is ourselves, isn't it? But there's a brotherly movement of love and acceptance. And yeah, we're challenging ourselves, but in this moment, maybe the challenge is to love and accept where you're at. With that ticked, let's lean into the core of this episode, and coming from that self-love, ferocious self-love and acceptance and accepting where you're at. There's also, you know, why do I find it so important to keep speaking to self-love and acceptance? Because that's the foundation from where you can get real with where you're at. Without, you know, beating yourself up. Heroic humility, hummus, the ground of truth of where you're at. It's absolutely essential, unless it's sort of like when you're using your GPS navigation system. I mean, there's incredible technology to help you get almost like literally anywhere on the planet. But the entire power of the system, of that technology, is if you don't know where your starting point is. And it's the same with inner growth and outer expansion. Unless you get real with where you're at, you're not going to actually make steps in progress towards where you want to go, because you're not being honest with yourself in the beginning. One of the most provocative things and concepts that I've been put to, a mentor of mine in the coaching field, Rich Litvin, is putting this idea that the system, like, you've the perfect system set up for the results you're experiencing right now. We're here, we're talking predominantly about marriage and married life, and when I'm going to lean into Rich's wisdom on that and reflect to you. You've the perfect system set up for the results you are experiencing in your marriage and married life now. You've the perfect system set up. This is really empowering, because so often our minds, I'll hold my hand up, and I know it's like almost every single guy in, we lean into blame or shame. Inner thoughts, outer words, you know, blaming our wife and blaming the situation. We might blaming having kids or blaming too many pets around that I didn't choose to go with. I didn't want them. And two, blaming in-laws and bullshit that's come in from, you know, people that they weren't really, you know, you didn't really want them as part of the whole package. Blame, blame, blame. Blame the outside circumstances for the challenge we're feeling on the inside. And then there's shame also, where, you know, we put it on ourselves. We attack ourselves and we have self-doubt, and the inner critic just tries to beat the shit out of ourselves. But claiming is a different part. It's like claiming, practicing extreme ownership of where you're at. And this is wonderfully empowering, provocative in the beginning maybe, but you have created for the results you are experiencing in relationship. What's empowering about this is it's all on you. That's what's provocative about it. That's what's, there can be quite a bit of kickback. Because if you've been blaming the world and shaming yourself, I mean, it hides away from you have played a starring creator's role in creating the system that is producing the results that are showing up in your life now. Touch base for a moment. How is your married life at the moment? You know, where is it on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being, I mean, off the charts levels of bliss, sexual attraction, fulfillment, radical inner happiness, peace of mind, fulfillment in yourself, peace of mind because you're able to accept and embody any given emotion, no matter how challenging it is, shadow parts of you, you're all integrated into this one Bahamut mountainous presence of a man. And you're able to lead from there in deep intimacy with your woman, with your kids, and you're leading your community. 10 out of 10. I mean, there, And then one, well, whatever that shows up for you, where are you really at in that, like on that level? And it's important to just like playfully put a figure on that. And the thing is, the system is creating the results of where you're truly at. And what's a system? Systems are repeating habitual actions that we take in our everyday lives. You know, when you talk about, oh, you've got to be systematic, what systematic means is, you know, when you come upon a similar situation, to be systematic is to take a predicted similar response to that situation. The issue is, the vast majority of men are living and creating their married lives from, you know, a default, unquestioned married life. I've spoken recently, was it last week's, the last episode? You know, if you don't have a vision, you're just going to go on a default, sort of dysfunctional, distracted way of looking at life. And when you end up living your life by default, unquestioned, repeated actions, you recreate whatever the default, unquestioned married life that you're experiencing. So if there's any part of your married life right now that you have reason to sort of complain about, to grump about, to go, oh, well, it's just not right. And even if you're accepting it, there's just like, it's far from what your ideal is. It's absolutely imperative to look at the systems that are running in your life. Repeated actions are incredible because, you know, I know there's different guys out there. I know there's, I think it was Tony Robbins, and like, you know, you've got to take massive action. And I remember listening to that in the beginning, and to be honest, I was backing off all the time because it's like, well, what's massive action? Like, is it leaving my job? Is it like, yeah, like massive action. There was this part of my ego loving it, but ultimately, like, I always backed off because it sort of comes to, we can't do, I think it was Mother Teresa, we can't do great things. We can only do small things with great love. And that's what systems are about when you get them organized consciously. The thing about repeated actions in your everyday life, the mindset in modern life very much is like, we get stuck in the mundane. I want to touch base with you. Do you ever get stuck in like a same shit, different day mentality or energy around home? You know, you just, your bag, your phone, and you're cracking open a beer, you're making yourself a coffee, and yeah, you know, you say hi, you might greet kids, but like, it's sort of like the same shit, different day. It's like, it's the same emotional tone and set point. When slowing down, slowing down to speed up, the major point about actions that you repeatedly take is that the mind can make it seem like they're so mundane and so small in isolation that it loses sight on the fact of how massively impactful they are, constructively impactful or destructively impactful. Impact is impact, but it's like, do you want a positive impact or a negative impact? Constructive or destructive? These repeated actions, they seem almost meaningless when viewed, and yet they can create a deceptively negative effect on the ecosystem of your married life, your family life, when they're repeatedly done over time. Now, the flip side of that, sort of along with that constructive and destructive point, the flip side is where it gets really exciting. And I want to, like, you know, just stop, you know, wherever you are listening in. It's like, are you listening up to this bit? You know, you don't get a free ride here. You. Yes, you. Not the other. Like, it's amazing. Actually, the podcast, we got 125 listens at the time recording last week. I mean, it's just been ramping up. That's up from 30 like 3 weeks earlier, so it's amazing like how it's spreading out. So the with the audience expanding, are you listening in? You, not the other 124 guys. You, are you listening in to this? The flip side exists too. One tiny shift in system upgrade has, it's like it creates a seemingly tiny effect on the action, yet the compound effect over time creates like a massively positive effect on your marriage, your inner world, your married life, your family life, everything. The whole ecosystem from one tiny shift ripples out everywhere. One of the major things in coming to understand the potency, or like to make this implementable. I don't know, is that a word? Are you allowed to put implement and able together? One thing that makes this implementable, I like the sound of the word, so I'm going with it, is if-then pre-commitments. You got to go back to Ulysses and the Sirens, and those of you that know a lot more about, I don't know, is it history or mythology? I think it's mythology. We'll know probably in a whole lot more about this dude Ulysses. But myself and my ignorance, I have come upon it repeatedly in peak performance books and that. So the bare basic story of Ulysses and the Sirens is Ulysses was this captain, this voyager. He was an adventurer. He was going on his travels around the place. But he realized that he was going through this part of a sea where these sirens, these mystical creatures who had this magical capacity to, I think it was sort of like sing and communicate to every, to the worst inner fears and demons and undealt with shadow work of every man on board. So whatever they would sing, every man on board would hear, and it's like his deepest, darkest desires, they would speak to it, and they would provoke this massive incredible desire in these guys, that the guys would be just intoxicated. And in that, I think the whole point was it caused them to crash the boat, and I don't know, did they eat them? But it all ended in disaster. So, you know, Ulysses being the leader, and this is like what I'm proposing, is that you listen into Ulysses in your own life and you start looking at if-thens through his eyes. But he realizes, like, okay, don't want to crash, don't want to be taken over by these ones. So he said an if-then. He was like, with the guys on board, he was like, if we're going through the Sirens, that part of the sea, then I want you to tie me beforehand, tie me to the mast of the ship, and if we're going through, then don't untie me. No matter how much I'm screaming, no matter how much I'm like beckoning you and commanding you to untie me, do not do that. So like, if we're going through, then don't untie me. What he did with them is he put beeswax in their ears so they couldn't hear the siren. So the whole story goes is that they sailed straight through and no negative effects were put upon them. So that's the if-then. That's the seemingly the original story of if-then pre-commitments. Well, if-then pre-commitment was like a, and there was some psychologist that put the term on, but he quoted Ulysses and the Sirens as being the originating idea of it. I want to give you like a practical example of how this looks in my life. And as I'm giving you the practical example, I want you like to tap base like in your life. What are certain seemingly mundane, repeated situations and actions that you take that in and of themselves they might seem meaningless, but now in this new context that I'm painting here for you, they could be massive. There could be massive benefits for you making a slight if-then pre-commitment shift in it. Just going to invite you in on one that for me, I, in my ignorance, going back years, coming from my family of origin, and I know it's one thing that my queen said is like, oh my god, it's like the sort of the amount of chaos and mess that would be in my family home. Lovely home, lots of, you know, humor and laughter, and like you'd be greeted and welcomed in, but I mean like to be sort of like a mess in the kitchen table, and it'd be like a scramble to tidy it away when a guest came. Or, you know, my wife would be like, wow, I don't know how, you know, like the kitchen can be tidy, and then, you know, there's a family get together, and within a couple of hours, there's just a mess everywhere. from, you know, just jackets being thrown, not put away, shoes down, books out, stuff that shopping bags come in and the bags are just left there, and like the wrappers and the boxes. She's like, it's just this capacity to create a mess from nothing. And she was deeply impressed by it, but not impressed in the absolutely admirable way. So it was coming from this sort of like default, there again, it's like this default, unquestioned, repeated way of showing up. I didn't realize I was creating quite a mess around the place. So I'm going to sort of like do an A and a B setup of it, just to set up the contrast of sort of like the before and the after. The A, the before I started really taking on board the feedback, I'm going to focus on one point, because it's like a definite daily action that I was taking. I have one coffee per day, and every time I made the coffee, I unwittingly left, you know, what was like the stuff that I was using to prepare it. Like there was the spoon, there was the coffee jar, and the coffee pot. I unwittingly was leaving that out, and you know, the bonus point was Matilda would always laugh, and I do this for other things. I'd leave the press door open, and sometimes I might tidy away one or two of them, but there was always some of them, if not all of them. And like put on top of that, like, you know, an inevitable spill of coffee or that, and I just wouldn't wipe it up. So there was these few things left out on the counter. In and often by themselves, I haven't killed anybody. You know, my mind subconsciously, I received the feedback she told me on this and many other things, and it was like, you know, this sort of a nonchalant arrogant, it's like, yeah, you know, whatever, and I wouldn't take the feedback on. But you know, part of it was my kids mimicked my repeated behavior, and as a result they learned to just add to the mess at the house by not tidying up after themselves, because it's like, well, you know, I'm viewing daddy. Mirror neurons in their beautiful nervous system, it's like, daddy doesn't tidy up, we don't tidy up. My wife, my beautiful queen, obviously, like, somebody had to tidy up, and she would repeatedly clean up after me. And just note that my system, default unquestioned system, not running effectively and efficiently, was loading her system. So there's this ripple effect. Your system has a ripple effect on the ecosystem of your family. And this ended up having, you know, my queen, she was frequently complaining, number one, about the messy build-up, but then about being tired, and she never had time to herself, and she had all these projects, and, you know, there's a part of my mind sort of like, oh, well, look, that's life, you know, we have two kids, and lots of horses, and we're trying to do all these things, and blah, 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 blah. Deeply inside, though, and on the outside at times, I mean, if she was judging me as uncaring and incompetent. Now, the flip side, when I set an if-then, but if then was, if I make coffee, then I tidy up the spoon, the coffee jar, and I put the coffee pot away, I clean it up, just put it on the drainer, and I close whatever door. And if there's any bit of spillage, I wipe it. Now, that's the if then. The ripple effect of just that one simple systematic upgrade. Now, and over time, this has been a relatively short period. It's like the last chapter of our lives. I know it's like a year and a half that I've been working on this. My kids, in time, began mimicking me, because there wasn't this sort of, you'd call it cognitive dissonance, where it's like, effectively, kids will call bullshit on if there's double standards around the house. You know, it's like if they're being criticized or told to change their behavior for creating a mess, well, if they see double standards, if they see their parents, they're going to keep mimicking the parents. So it's inspired leadership is what they're looking for. And they really don't. I don't know if you've memories yourself of like double standards in your family growing up. There's a real sting to that as a kid. But it's been amazing. It's actually been quite humbling for me to realize, it's like, okay, my kids, they're reflecting back. And I had got angry with them for many years, like, oh, you don't tidy up. I wasn't doing it myself. So my kids, over time, began mimicking me, and they started taking on feedback and cleaning up after themselves. And that's still a work in progress. Why? Because there were so many years of them modeling me not tidying up and feeling that that was sort of like a subconscious permission for them not to bother. Another thing is, like, my wife now is actually really energized, and she gets time to do super cool things. We have like a high self-sufficiency sort of an ethos or philosophy that we're trying, ideally, we want to do. And like, she's able to bake breads and make jams. She's been talking about making jams. She is something she did in childhood. And she was always saying she never had time. She's having this time and like brewing kombucha and time to read her own favorite book. And she's now writing her book. And I'm not saying that this has all come about just from me tidying up my coffee pot. But you see, the most amazing thing about if-then pre-commitments and systematic upgrades is, as you do one thing, you do all things. Me bringing my awareness to this habit, habitually, this default habit where it's like creating like a mini mess. But that mini mess, well, if I made a sandwich mid-morning, or, you know, if I did lunch, or if I, you know, it spreads into the bedroom, or if I'm doing stuff outside. I started realizing from this one example, I'm like, wow, you know, every little mini mess that my mind was thinking, well, that's just a small thing. I mean, that's nothing major. That's not killing anybody. I mean, you know, I'm busy in that moment. You know, if I just forget about it, it's no big thing. Well, all of it together becomes a massive thing. So the amazing thing is bringing your full awareness to one little small repeated behavior, and just the compound effect of that in and of itself is big enough. But as you do one thing, you do all things. It upgrades your awareness on multiple other situations. This is almost inevitable. A major thing for my woman now is that she's actually, you know, when she sees me tidying up, she still have like a bit of a jibe, and the odd time, look, and I'm not perfect, the odd time, like, get caught in my mind and I leave a press door open, or like I'll forget some things, and she'll give me the direct feedback, but there's a smile on her face. She really appreciates that, you know, I'm leaning in, I'm becoming as present as I can to it, and there's progress there. She really likes that. And she knows that it's an expression of me caring for her, caring for the girls, caring for our home. And she recognizes it's a rising competence in me as a man. And just touch base with you. It's like the before and the after. It's a simple little daily habit of tidying up after myself, ultimately. But can you see the contrast from just vicariously looking in, listening in? Can you see how one little simple part in my life has been so impactful? Like, I mean, the ripple goes out over time to my kids. They're more receptive to feedback because I'm actually embodying what I'm preaching. I'm embodying what I'm saying to them as a dad. I'm actually embodying taking care of my own shit, embodying extreme responsibility. There again, a lot of parenting, a lot of, you know, feedback and what we think is feedback, but it's like criticism, comes from a double standard place. We're hypocrites a ton of the time, because there's this dynamic. I draw the distinction. You've got to inspire them to, not require them to. And a lot of parenting and a lot of feedback in marriage between us, from a husband to a wife, is like you're requiring them. It's like, hey, look, I just want you to stop doing this thing. But you're not inspiring them. Your own standard is not so high that you're embodying, you know, impeccability in that realm yourself. So that's the main reason why your wife doesn't take feedback from you. That's the main reason why your kids don't take feedback, or to do it resentfully and then they repeatedly do the same thing to your exasperation. Taking extreme ownership. This is about kingship here. Always is about taking extreme ownership. Is like, how is your systematic way of showing up? So by one systematic upgrade of how you repeatedly show up in a certain activity, in a certain taking action, in a repeated moment in your time, has a massive impact. I want to touch base with you. It's like, well, what's showing up for you? Where are there moments? And do you have a really powerful place? By the way, just leaning in. If your wife, and I don't think many guys ever, ever listen in. It's probably not a good idea to have your wife listening in as you're listening to this. I know a lot of you are probably chuckling going, no effing way. It's like the last thing. But for what I'm about to say is like, if she happens to walk through, just like, you know, make your excuses really just like, just subtly, just knock it off. Oh, hey, honey, you know, just for this next bit, don't have her listening into this, because this is the last thing. You're going to be repulsed by me if I spring this on you and your wife happens to be listening in. How to find the most potent if-thens, where you can start your systematic upgrading of your married life. Leaning in, whispering in case she's in the background. Listen to your queen's feedback. And the word feedback might in your mind, because you're probably resisting and resenting it and avoiding it like the plague, your mind might go, hey, it's not feedback, that's bloody criticism. Your wife's criticisms, her feedback, the times that she explodes and goes, why the hell are you fucking doing this or not doing that, all of those moments. I know every single one of you guys listening, you might have a wry smile on your face, you might have like, oh fuck, you know, this response of, oh man, you know, I just want to listen in to a podcast and just be able to switch off. This is not the podcast for you. Plenty of them out there, but not here. What are those things that she tells you about repeatedly that irritates her? That if you were to snap out of, I've spoken about the distinction between alpha wolf and puppy dog mode. Puppy dog mode is like a spoiled little 5-year-old that has yet to initiate beyond, you know, mammy son role. That resentful part of you that resents and avoids feedback and criticism, look, that's a psychological inner energetic thing within you. That if you relate to your woman that it's criticism and it's like it's not right and like she's always on my case and blah blah blah, but you don't implement, you don't take any action on what her feedback is, that's your shit. That's your shadow. Different conversation, different day. I've already covered the topic, but it's so important to keep bringing it back up and back up. That's your shadow. But that's the most potent part to start. Like, where is she giving you feedback? Where are the things? You know, tidying up after yourself, being grumpy at the table, going silent. You know, like, I mean, stonewall silent. Not the listening with presence silent. Going stonewalling or in deep, you know, in argumentative conversations. You know, you might, I don't know, come in and give out to the kids before you've actually touched base with them. Like, what are all of these infinite amount of moments that your woman gives you feedback on that she, by your terms, criticizes, but she points to some area that you could progress in? That's an incredible part to start. Why? Because it's going to be deeply meaningful to the woman in your life, to your queen. And if she's picking up on it, if her emotional system picks up that it's like just how you keep showing up in that area, it's going to have massive high leverage, positive benefit on the rest of the ecosystem of your life. In your marriage, your woman, you're going to become like the one in a billion if you actually start practicing looking for feedback and acting on feedback. Your wife will be like, oh my God, what has happened to this guy? If there's nothing else you take from this podcast, if it's like, okay, right, there's just one thing I've listened to, like I've listened to 30 or, was it 30, this is episode number 40, I've listened to a whole lot of them, if you, nothing from them all. If you remember one thing, and it's this could be like the Bahamas, this could be like the highest leverage thing you could take on board is just receiving feedback, and not just receiving it, implementing change on it. Your woman is not the enemy. She's a potent goddess. If you don't perceive her as that, that's more your work. She's a potent goddess. She has amazing capacity to witness you and tap into your levels of presence. And thus, if you're not very present, you're going to be stuck in your head. You're going to be creating a mess. You're going to be showing up in these default, unquestioned, repeated actions, creating a mess, creating an emotional mess, a physical mess, like a dirty house mess, a communication mess, whatever it is. She can pick up on that like no other human being. So receiving her feedback, an insanely courageous place to start. And if you want to improve your entire marriage, and ultimately, if you want to be like from an, like a selfish perspective, you want to make your life easier, just take the feedback on and produce embodied progress. That she appreciates, that she sees your rising competence, she sees that you're caring, she sees and feels, wow, this guy has turned the corner. What a depth of maturity, he's actually bit by bit showing up and progressing. And then you set your if-thens. I want to give a couple of if-thens. If-thens are all over my life at this point. You know, the more I consciously have slowed down in my own marriage, there again, the reminder, like 3 years ago, fucking like, I don't know, was it like from one conversation to the next, I didn't know, was I going to be kicked out the door, marriage in the absolute shitter. It was horrible. It's if-thens. It's just when I started taking feedback and noticing, it's like, oh, okay, so I repeatedly show up like that in relationship. Well, if that situation comes, then I will take this new conscious approach to that situation. I'm going to share some of them. Might do a fuller version of this for another episode. But some of the if-thens, to give you just a little bit of a flavor, I scribble these down before coming on. It's like, if my wife comes home, then I go give her a queen's welcome. This was coming from getting feedback from my wife. It's like she didn't feel like I honored her, and it was like it hurt her that, you know, when she would come home from whatever, shopping or a trip out or her work, then I'd be like on the computer, I'd be watching TV, I'd be reading a book, I'd be doing whatever, and sort of like she picked it up as indifference. And to be honest, well, it was indifference, and that hurt her severely. It was like, wow, you know, I'm coming home, are you not happy to see me, or you don't come to greet me? Or, you know, very often I'd actually be stuck in a self-pity party, because, you know, like if she was gone off to work, then I was like in charge of the kids, of feeding the horses, of making dinner, and I'd be just caught in this sort of like feeling sorry for myself mode, and I'd like subconsciously take it out on her. She'd come back to like me in a dramatic mode, or I'd be pissed off, and like I'd be complaining about the girls, and it was horrible. I mean, she was coming in and it just hurt her. So I got that feedback repeatedly, didn't act on it for years, but then when I, you know, actually just started showing up as a man, finally, you know, the penny dropped, I'm like, oh wow, this is up to me. I realized, it's like, okay, well, if I hear that my wife is coming back, I hear the keys in the door, the car is coming in outside, then within the levels of appropriateness, you know, if I'm on a, sometimes I can be on a Zoom call or whatever with a client, etc., of course. But it's like, if I'm rarely watch TV now without my goddess, but if I'm, you know, watching a movie with the girls, if I'm reading a book, if I'm doing whatever outside, well, then I go to my queen, I give her a passionate kiss, welcome her back, bring my full 10 out of 10 positive energy at that moment, what's available to me. And yeah, of course, if there's a little bit of shit that's going on, well, then a couple of minutes later when she has come in, I might tell her about, oh well, this happened, and you know, like, you know, one of the girls got hurt, they were crying, or oh, it's been a bit intense, whatever. I will greet her with my highest, most loving self. If another if then is, if my wife puts on an outfit, then I consciously switch on and notice her and praise how she is looking. Because for years, I mean, it's just modeling, you know, how maybe my dad went at it, whatever. Like, just, I wasn't very switched on to noticing my woman. And again, I was getting feedback. She'd like get upset for years. I remember going like getting really grumpy. It's like we're getting ready to go out on a date night, on whatever, like a family event, she's after getting dressed up, and all of a sudden it's like we're in bad form in the car. Like, what the fuck? Like, there was this part of me like, why, oh, WTF, why the hell is this happening again? And I'd get into a grumpy mode, I'd start stonewalling me, like, man, like, this crap again, like, why, like, you're projecting all your shit on me, blame mode within myself. But it was hurting her. It's like the feminine goddess wants, you know, like, their essence is radiating beauty. So her practice of putting on, you know, like those earrings that she really liked, and you know, nice clothes, clothes that she wouldn't be wearing around the place normally. And like, she's after putting, you know, time and effort into getting herself looking as good as she could, and then she's then not noticed. I'm indifferent, like, ugh. I mean, it's repulsive to her. So my if then is, if she's getting ready, if she's got herself dressed up in an outfit, then I switch on. And I make sure, if even just for a moment, sometimes we can be really busy getting out the door, going to whatever it is, but even if just for a moment, even if it's like when we get out to the car, it's like, I'll take a moment and be like, hey, honey, man, you're looking hot. Oh, wow, like, I love those, like, those red jeans, and it just looks so sexy, like, in your ass, or like, oh, I love those earrings, like, they go with your eyes, or, you know, I just notice her. She just lights up, and she's, like, so full of joy, and she's so loved up, and she loves this. Like, she's told me repeat, it's like, oh, just, you're noticing me more now. Guys, it's from an if then. If I notice that she's after getting dressed up to go out, then I just, there's this process. And it's making my life way easier, and it's, my woman is way more appreciated, way happier, and the ripple effect is enormous. So that might be an if then that could be used for you. It's definitely been a revelation for myself. Another one, this is in parenting, but it's like, if my daughter has a meltdown, an emotional meltdown, the feminine just going shit mad, irrationally crazy in front of me, then I stay with her in full patience and presence until she is fine. This is coming off the back. I've spoken about for years, my unpredictable, irrational, I'm going to say, they're angry, but they're aggressive outbursts. I mean, it's stinging criticisms and attack and blame. I was feeling like shit on the inside, and I'd take it out on my kids and my wife. I mean, that was deeply traumatizing for, definitely for my oldest girl. The youngest girl hasn't got the fullest brunt of it, just time wise. But like our eldest daughter, like she would go into what I can only call emotional meltdown. Like she'd just like retreat. She would not be listening at all to anything I was communicating in those moments, and I was getting deeply frustrated. So I had to set an if then. It's like, if this situation happens, that she goes into her version of a dissociated meltdown, then I've just got to like bring full patience, full presence, and be there as much as possible. If it's like, if there's no pre-committed thing that I'm online, I have a work commitment or something, it's like, well, then I'm there. There's no time. I'm not trying to get this done in 5 minutes. It's like, if it's 5 minutes or 45 minutes, I'm there with her. I mean, it's been one of the most impactful things in my parenting journey with her, is just learning, you know, just creating that impeccably safe space where she could just be with the emotions, and I wasn't getting frustrated with her frustration. I wasn't getting frustrated with, you know, her anger, her grief, whatever emotional load that she was feeling in those moments. And, you know, it's been a number of years me practicing this if then, but she's actually radically transforming as a young woman, and how she's able to hold space for her own emotions now, and how she's now way more able to communicate directly what's happening inside of her and communicate her needs, and she give me feedback. Actually, a big part why she would actually go into sort of an emotional meltdown is there was a big part of her wisdom sort of with a big fuck you to daddy. To me, it was like, maybe he's just calling me on my bullshit, but she didn't feel safe, so she would sort of like just go in on herself. Now she gives me direct feedback. She'd call me on my bullshit. So this if then, there again, as you do one thing, it has a massive ripple effect. One more. This is a major one for me. If I go into heart closure, then I go silent and I drop into my body. I have an entirely, like a full complete process of what I do when I go into heart closure. What I mean by heart closure is like just fully emotionally triggered. Just like I get suddenly pissed off or annoyed. This has relevance for every person, like both my girls as I relate with them, but like definitely specifically the most intensely charged ones are with my queen. If I go into heart closure, if I go into that triggered state and there's nothing but like vitriolic blame and shame in my mind, I'm like, ah, then I go quiet. Why? Because I notice at one point, I reflected on it, it's like, when has it ever worked? Ever. And I've asked this to every single guy I've asked this to, they burst out laughing. Because it's like, the answer is never. When has it ever worked that when I go into closure, I'm deeply triggered and I speak from that state of being? When has that ever worked to be conducive to bringing anything nice in that moment? Never! And this is the point. If you're repeatedly showing up in a way, this is the whole entire point of systems. A systems focus and awareness and how it can transform everything, literally everything in your married life. This puts you in the driving seat, guys. When you slow down and you reflect on this, you end up noticing these repeated moments. And then you just make that if-then shift. So it's like, if this situation that repeatedly goes to a shitty end, if I can go, if that situation arises, then I'm going to do this other new, conscious, more productive response. If my wife is giving me feedback and I'm thinking I'm triggered and it's criticism, then I'm going to go silent and just take the feedback on and implement it. If then. Your whole life is a set of like predominantly systematic default habitual ways of responding to your environment. And it goes back. I'm just bringing this round full circle. I know this is a longer episode, but it's long because it's so bloody important. Bringing it back to the beginning. Systems. You, my man, my wonderful kingly brother, you have created the perfect system set up for the results you are experiencing in your married life as it exists today. It's all on you. This podcast is unapologetically, unstoppably, unavoidably about taking and assuming extreme ownership as a man. Kingship is all about extreme radical ownership of your shit. Your thinking, your talking, and your taking action. When you take radical ownership of that, everything changes. So no matter how, call it on a relative level, bad your marriage is today, no matter how the lack of sex is there, how the lack of intimacy, the lack of emotional, you know, connection that you guys are feeling, no matter how much there's a lack of, geez, you just don't share, you don't like talk properly, no matter how much there's a lack of appreciation and praise together, no matter how much there's a lack of everything that's good, if there's a lack of that, no matter how bad it is, come from the realization that the situation that you're experiencing today is set up from the systems that have been in play, those repeated tunes that you've been playing. And all you need to do now is one by one, humbly, with time and patience. Remember, your woman is never looking for perfection, but what she is looking is for presence and progress. Practice having the presence to witness with unbiased awareness where there are repeated moments, habitual situations that are sort of locked in a same shit different day. You've just been doing the same old response repeatedly, and that's playing a not a very good constructive role in creating this default married life that you're a bit grumpy about now. And then said an if then. If this one situation arises as it habitually does, then I'm going to take this and fill in the blank. Put in whatever this new response is going to be. Remember, the flip side. One tiny shift in a repeated moment by ripple effect goes out, sends like a wave of intentionality into your whole the whole ecosystem of your married life. For your woman, for your kids, for you, it makes everything easier. So, you know, turning around your life situation, your married situation, your marriage, your intimacy, your sex life, your parenting, it's an immense challenge. But it's an impossible challenge until you start looking at systems. Then it becomes infinitely easier and your have-it-all, happy-ever-after life comes from that. Guys, this has been an epic episode. I salute you. I honor you. I express love and gratitude for you listening in. And especially, I praise and acknowledge you for implementing. It's in the implementation. That's where the miraculous transformation arises. And that is what I want. It's like millions of men, husbands around the planet. Just comes to our mantra, our guiding North Star, call it principle of the entire movement. Better husbands today. Better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing, ferociously self-loving and accepting kingly day.